This is 89.1 KUAR. I'm Michael Heblin. We're breaking away from regular programming so that we can bring you Governor Asa Hutchinson, expected to give a briefing momentarily on the situation of COVID-19 in Arkansas. At this point, the State Department of Health reports 1,777 cases and 38 deaths. This comes after the governor yesterday announced creation of the Arkansas Economic Recovery Task Force that will be charged with making recommendations on how best for the state to return its economy to normal following this outbreak. The governor set earlier in the week on Friday, May 4th, as the target date to begin phase one of reopening the state's economy, and yesterday announced the members of this task force, which will be chaired by Stuart Walton of Bentonville. And here comes Governor Asa Hutchinson wearing a mask right now. Looks like he's joined by Dr. Nate Smith from the Department of Health.
Thank you for joining us today for our daily COVID-19 update on a Sunday. And I hope everybody had a good Sunday and got a little bit of rest, even though under different circumstances. I'm joined by Dr. Nate Smith, our Secretary of Health, of course, and today also Dexter Payne, our Director of the Department of Corrections, is with me as well. In terms of the case update, yesterday we had 1,739 COVID-19 cases. We are adding an additional 42 cases, which brings the total to 1,781. We have 86 hospitalized yesterday. There's an increase of 2 to 88 hospitalizations. There's been 2 additional deaths, and that total is 40 now. Dr. Smith will go into it a little bit more. Whenever you look at 42 new cases, we did 551 tests, which includes the commercial test, as well as other facilities, and you can see the percent that was negative on that testing. Now, let me emphasize that, let me go to the slide first and we'll come back to it. So this is a little bit different on the new cases because as you can see, as you get toward the end, for the last 3 days, we just did it for the last 3 days, it's the white are the increases from the Cummins prison unit, and the red are the other cases that we've recited. And so today's number is not on there. It's 42 cases today that are from the general population, and that really indicates where we are in Arkansas. And then we'll have a separate white line there for what is covered at Cummins prison unit, which I wanted to speak of. Before I get there, let's go to the next slide, which is the number of hospitalized COVID-19 patients. And of course, this is day by day and leading to the current where, again, you see a little flattening at the top, a steady state for our hospitalizations. Now, let me come back to Cummins Prison because that'll be a little bit of a focus of our conversation today. I spoke with Secretary Kelly today, and of course, Director Payne is here, and they've worked very closely with the Department of Health on making sure that we do everything we can to avoid the continued spread and a wider spread of COVID-19 in the prison system. And to date, we have tested almost 1,400 inmates within the Cummins Maximum Security Facility. That is an extraordinary number of inmates, over almost 1,400 inmates. We utilized the AEL lab in Memphis for this purpose. We had a quick turnaround with them. And just to illustrate it, we did some of these tests on Wednesday and Thursday of last week, but on Friday we did 139 tests, and then last night and we did 835 tests. And so in a 2 day total, we did 974 tests of those in the Cummins Correctional Institution. We have received 634 test results back. And of the 634 tests that have been returned, we have 348 positive thus far and still waiting on more results. And so you can see how, if you can switch back to the other screen for a moment, the top that we've had of any increase in one day is about 120, about 130 there. And of course, you know, in recent days it's been 40, it has been 50, so it's been lower numbers. And so the number that we will have coming out of Cummins dwarfs what we're having statewide with 348 positive thus far. And that's a reason, of course, to distinguish those in the reporting system. Of the inmates that have tested positive or negative, it's been segregated so that we have 8 positive barracks within Cummins, and we have 7 negative barracks. And so they are properly allocated based upon their test results and their public health requirements. Let me assure everyone that all of the Department of Health guidelines are being followed. They're being cared for in terms of their medical needs. Almost all are asymptomatic. In other words, they're not showing symptoms. Only 3 have been hospitalized, and we'll continue to monitor that situation. As a result of the concern about what's happened in the prison system, I get a lot of questions about, well, shouldn't you have some kind of a compassionate release program? And we have to remember that these inmates are there for a reason. And there's public health concerns, but there's also public safety concerns. But I did look at this issue, and the parole board has really, over the last couple of weeks, taken action in looking at the larger prison population. And for example, 271 inmates have been released from our county jails across the state that were being held under a 90-day sanction program as a result of their parole supervision by the Community Corrections Division. And so they were in there for some violation of a sanction, and they have been compassionately released to relieve the crowding in the county jails, but also to relieve the intake into our prison system. And the parole board believed they could do that consistent with public safety concerns. One has been released who is over 70 for health conditions, but I've also, and let me emphasize, this is really not related to Cummins. Cummins is being dealt with in terms of our testing there with the positive and negative barracks, and of course the inmates there in the maximum security unit almost by definition pose a public safety concern. And so that's separate. But we look at the broader prison population, whether it's Tucker Prison or whether it's the North Central Unit at Calico Rock, and I've asked for a review of all nonviolent offenders who are non-sex offenders that are due for release within the next 6 months. I've asked for those to be identified and reviewed by the parole board and the Department of Corrections. There are 1,990 inmates that fit that criteria of nonviolent offenders, non-sex offenders that are due for release within the next 6 months. They will be screened by the parole board and the Board of Corrections from a public safety standpoint, and they will make a determination as to how many of these can be released under the current circumstances. The reason that this is important is that right now we have an outbreak in the Cummins Prison Maximum Security Unit. But we want to look at the prisons more broadly, and that as we, if we have positive cases or an outbreak in another unit, we want to have sufficient space available so that we can have the inmates that test positive isolated, and we can do the sufficient contact tracing in these units and have separation capacity, and we have to have some empty spaces for that. So it's a matter of looking ahead and planning in the event that we have a challenge in any of the other facilities. And so with that, I wanted to ask Dr. Smith to come and give his comments and report, followed by Director Payne.
This is Dr. Nate Smith. with the Arkansas Department of Health.
Thank you, Governor. Just give a little bit more detail on some of the numbers from today. As the governor mentioned, we have 42 new cases in our database that brings our total to 1,781. Of those, 1,020 are active cases. Dr. Dillahay gave the breakdown in terms of race yesterday. I want to go over that again briefly. Of our total cases, 60% are white, 29% are African American, and we have 4% Hispanic. We only have 0.2% listed as Pacific Islander, but for example, some of those, some of our residents from the Marshall Islands, they may put in right in Marshall Islands rather than putting in Pacific Islander. And so we have 3% are other, and 5% are missing. So I'm not sure that we've captured all of the Pacific Islanders there, but we're working very closely with the with our Marshallese community to make sure we identify all cases and do appropriate contact tracing. In terms of underlying medical conditions, some of the top ones are diabetes. We have 197 of our total cases have been diabetics. That's 11%. Heart disease is the next highest, 126, that's 7%. And chronic lung disease, we've had 77 cases, or 4%. We have had 237 healthcare workers, that's one more than yesterday. Of those, 115 have recovered. Our nursing homes, we have 128 residents who have tested positive. That's three more than yesterday. As the governor mentioned, we have 88 currently hospitalized. That's a net gain of two over yesterday. We currently have 25 on a ventilator. That's three more than yesterday. The governor mentioned that we do have two additional new deaths, bringing our total to 40. One of those was a nursing home resident, so that brings our total for nursing home related deaths to eight. Unfortunately, one of those was also a healthcare worker, and I believe that is our first frontline healthcare worker to have passed away from COVID-19 in the state. We have 721 total who have recovered. That's 18 more than yesterday. I want to give a little bit more detail on our situation in the Cummins unit. We have a total of 348 inmates who have tested positive there. That is 118 more than we reported yesterday. As the governor mentioned, we are in the process of getting these numbers into our database, but they're not reflected currently in that total of 42 additional cases. We also have six of the Cummins unit staff who have tested positive, and that's six more than yesterday. In terms of the federal facility, we don't have any new cases reported there. As I mentioned before, the CDC is working closely with the Bureau of Corrections, Federal Bureau of Corrections, to develop a testing strategy for that facility. And with that, I'll turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, Dr. Smith and Director Payne.
This is Dexter Payne, Director of the Department of Corrections.
Good afternoon. First, I want to thank the governor for his leadership and also Dr. Smith for their assistance with us as we deal with the issues at Cummins. As the governor said, we have tested almost 1,400 inmates at the Cummins facility. Those that have not been tested are the ones so far that are housed in our modular unit and our South Hall, and those particular spaces are outside of the actual Cummins facility. So we haven't had any symptomatic inmates in those parts of our facility, and we don't plan on testing those unless we do get some that are symptomatic. We have also reviewed several inmates, as the governor has said, for possible release. Those will be non-violent offenders and those that don't have sex offense charges. So that's something we're also doing. We've also reviewed the COPD list of our inmates who have chronic illnesses for possible release. Governor also said we've divided Cummings Unit up to 8 barracks that have positives and 7 barracks who have negative results as part of this testing of 1,400. If we do have an inmate who is positive and he is approved for parole or discharge, we will not be releasing that person with that positive test. So those that have discharged, we will probably be holding up to 3 days past their discharge date if they're tested positive for COVID-19. Also, our parole board is going to review our inmates who have received 1-year denials and check their program sanctions to see if it's anything we can do to help with that population also. With that, that's all I have. Yes, sir.
And with that, we'll take any questions. Yes, ma'am.
How many staff at the Cummings unit has been tested?
Do you have that statistic on how many staff at the unit have been tested?
Yes, sir.
Good. Extra.
So now we've had 16 tested, 6 have been positive, 10 have not, and most have been tested by their own physician.
I have a question for him, actually. Sort of, how are you able to do security in the barracks that have all the positive cases? Are you having to send in staff into an area that's potentially a hot spot?
The staff that are working those barracks are part of our emergency response team. They have special equipment that they can deal with issues like this. They're trained to deal with our pandemics of that nature. So we utilize our ERT teams right now to go inside of that barracks if needed.
Stay handy. Yes?
Can you tell us who or where the person that died, the healthcare worker that died, where they worked?
I won't be giving detailed information on that individual due to the respect for the family. This was a healthcare worker at Jefferson Regional, though, associated with that first initial cluster.
Oh. Was the healthcare worker had any underlying conditions, or can we get an age grouping?
Yeah, I don't have any. I don't have specific information on that at this time. Both of our deaths from yesterday were under age 65.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you tell us what the status is of antibody testing in the state, and will it eventually be available to all citizens at some time?
Antibody testing will be important, but not for diagnosing acute illness. It will be important really for helping us to know who might have been infected asymptomatically or had mild symptoms or had symptoms but for whatever reason wasn't able to get a test. That will be more widely available. Right now that's not what we primarily need. What we primarily need are the PCR tests to diagnose acute infections. There are a number of antibody tests there out on the market. Only a handful have received emergency use authorization from the FDA. Actually, UAMS is developed their own, and they're in the process of validating that test as well. So those tests will be an important part of us assessing our situation. One of the misconceptions I think people have is that having an antibody test means that you're immune. We don't know that at this point. Some antibodies are protective and some antibodies aren't. For example, we test for HIV by doing an antibody test, but that antibody is not protective. We still have a lot to learn. One of the ways in which we can use that, though, is to identify people who may be donors, potential donors for convalescent plasma. If they have antibodies, we know that, and if they don't have any active infection, no virus, then they're someone who could donate. We could use that plasma and hopefully that will help some of our sickest patients.
Is there any question remotely? Any remote questions? It is indeed Sunday. So any other questions? Thank you all very much. We will convene again tomorrow. Thank you.
We've been listening to a live press briefing. Governor Asa Hutchinson and health officials, as well as the director of the Arkansas Department of Corrections, speaking with reporters. Two new deaths reported today, now bringing the total in Arkansas to 40. And as Dr. Nate Smith with the Arkansas Department of Health reported, for the first time we've had a healthcare worker, a frontline worker, who has died of COVID-19. He said this was someone who worked at Jefferson Regional Medical Center. That's where we had our first cases, and I believe our first death in Arkansas. The other, someone under the age of 65, we have seen an increase, 42 new cases since yesterday's press briefing. That's now up to 1,781 people who have tested positive for COVID-19. 86 people are hospitalized. That's two above yesterday. Governor Hutchinson said that about 1,400 inmates have been tested so far, and they've divided up Cummins Prison, isolating barracks where there have been positive cases. But he sought to offer reassurances that Department of Health guidelines are being followed, and that most of those who have tested positive at Cummins Prison are asymptomatic. He was asked about compassionate release, or said that he's been getting a lot of questions about that. He said that some county jails have released inmates who are not deemed to be a threat. He is also asking the State Parole Board to do a review of inmates in prisons in the state prisons, to look at those who are serving for nonviolent offenses, non-sex offenders, people who were already due to be released within the next 6 months. And the parole board is going to screen and get back to the governor with how many can be released in the state. 128 residents of nursing homes now positive for COVID-19. That's three more than yesterday. Also, we've got 25 on a ventilator. I missed how much of an increase that was. I believe they said that it was two more. So again, we continue to see a steady tick up of COVID-19 in Arkansas, and we'll continue to follow this. This is KUAR 89.1.